You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, here with the executive chef of CityZen, Mr. Eric Zeebold. Welcome, Eric.
Right. Thank you for having me.
Now, CityZen won the Five Diamond Award from AAA in 2011 for the fourth consecutive year and was given 4 stars by the Washington Post in 2010. And you personally were given the title of one of the best chefs in America by the James Beard Foundation Awards, also known as the Oscars for Food, the title of 2008 Mid-Atlantic Chef. So congratulations to all that, first of all.
Right. Thank you very much. We've been fortunate that we've had some great success with what we're doing.
And you, your background, we'll start with that first. You graduated from the Culinary Institute of America. Then you came to D.C. to work at Vidalia. At some point, you also worked in New York City at Per Se. And so you've kind of worked for some major markets there.
Right. I've been around. The in-between there, I spent 8 years in California in Napa Valley at the French Laundry.
So would you be like really frustrated if you ever had to be in the kitchen at a fast food restaurant?
It's certainly not what I aspire to. A little more attention to detail is our game.
That's, you know, that's probably a good TV show idea, right? We just right, created
right,
a Food Network
right,
show.
Right, put a fine dining chef in a fast food or QSR, I think is what they're, quick service ready restaurants.
Oh, okay. That'd be, yeah. It would be very interesting. You'd have like cilantro on the burgers, right?
Right, that would be a reality TV show to end them all.
So you're, talk to us about, what's a typical business model arrangement in restaurant? Are executive chefs, do they often have ownership? And what is the case in this particular case? How often are executive chefs also handle operations, and how often is it split?
Well, I think that you know, with the restaurant industry is a huge industry, and you'll see the gamut. There are enormous amount of chef owner restaurants. A lot of the very successful restaurants are all, you know, chef driven or chef owner restaurants. And you know, with some of the hotels and some of the other situations you get into, you find they find a different way to partner with what's going on. You're seeing an influx, especially in the hotel industry, of what were once independent chefs going into, you know, hotel environments where they're taking over the food and beverage programs there.
And so what the pros and cons are for, so you don't have full ownership in your case because you are partnered with a hotel.
Correct.
You're inside the
Mandarin Oriental Hotel.
And so there's less risk for you in that case.
Yeah, there's less risk, and there's less risk for everybody. You know, the hotel knows I'm going to be there for a long time, and I know that I have the support of them with what's going on. And that, you know, that helps a lot. One of the biggest challenges of trying to make it on your own is there's an enormous amount of things to control. Where I've got a team of people and, you know, an engineering staff that does a fantastic job. They were snaking a drain for us this morning, as a matter of fact. having those people on call is certainly incredibly helpful.
Excellent. And so talk to me about different skill sets that you have in when you're in a 5-star diamond restaurant versus, you know, maybe a lower length. Like, what are some of the skills that you specifically need for that?
You know, with that, I think that part of it almost, and this is why I think that you see a lot of chefs owning restaurants, is that, you know, you tend to want to be controlling everything. I think one of the big differences between, you know, high-end dining and more, you know, mid-range dining is that fact that, you know, I was saying to one of my cooks the other day, I'm not in the restaurant industry, I'm in the hospitality industry. And it really starts to become all-inclusive. You know, what is your philosophy about, and what does hospitality mean? You know, and I sort of loosely defined it to him, is trying to provide something to somebody that they wouldn't think to ask of their own accord. And that's really, you know, really thinking about the guest experience and what can you do to make that an experience that they just wouldn't have anticipated having.
So almost like anticipating somebody might need salt and pepper when you yourself would never want to ruin your dish with salt and pepper, right? Is that, I mean, that would be an example, right?
Right. Well, and anticipating, you know, what the person's entrance to the restaurant, you know, is going to be like. You know, we had a huge event one night within the hotel, so we knew that the valet was going to get backed up. So we sent somebody out with hot cocoa and cups of coffee while people were waiting to have their cars brought up. You know, really putting yourself in that place of, you know, what would I want, what would I be able to do? And because we know our resources better than our guests do, we have the ability to hopefully provide them with those things that, like I said, they wouldn't think to ask of their own accord.
In your business, is the customer always right?
In our business, you know, what we try and do, is get the customer what it is that's going to most make them happy. And you know, that's where communication really becomes, you know, important, of listening to guests and understanding what it is they're looking for, and then how we can translate that to, you know, what it is we're able to provide.
And in a kind of a 5-star setting, I would imagine that your employees have to be on their toes more. It's a lot harder. So do you, how quickly would you fire somebody? Messing up once, twice, or is it the severity of the mess up?
Well, the hardest thing about doing what we do is that you don't walk in off the street and you're not able to perform at that level. So the responsibility is really on me as the chef, and me as their manager, to make sure that they're successful at what they're doing and put them in an environment where they can be successful, and be aware enough of what's going on, that you're going to be able to anticipate the mistake that the person is going to make and catch it before it goes out. The unfortunate reality is, you know, you're only as good as your last meal, in our business. And so you really have to be on point, you know, 100% of the time. And that's a lot of coaching. It's a lot of coddling. It's a lot of, you know, leading. It's a lot of pushing. It's a lot of, you know, it's a lot that goes into it.
With the onset of the Food Network and all these food shows all over the place now you see on TV, does that make your job harder? 'Cause people now come in and say, I know what I want. It's almost like the consumer's more educated now than maybe 10 years ago.
It makes it, you know, with the rise of television and media and technology, it in some ways makes it much easier, because people are really passionate about food and dining and going out right now. And in some capacity, it makes it much harder. I got an email from somebody the other night complaining about their meal while they were still in the restaurant. And yet they didn't say anything to the server. And so I think that, you know, with so much of television and these shows, Hell's Kitchen and whatnot, it's all about, you know, reacting to an environment. I can't imagine why somebody would send an email as opposed to, you know, confronting a server.
Yeah.
But that sort of reactionary dynamic is really what you're seeing with, you know, Top Chef, Iron Chef, and all these other shows, is they want to see a reaction. And that's the part where what we do isn't the unreality of television, it's the reality of a dining experience.
Excellent. And so how often are you required? I had this question. I was thinking, how often is Eric, and we're speaking with Eric Zeebold, executive chef of CityZen, how often do you have to be a chef on the fly? Like, all of a sudden, you know, maybe your restaurant's trying to incorporate organic farming, and so there's a shipment of squash that surprisingly showed up at 3 p.m. And so that evening, now all of a sudden you have to change the menu. Does that happen?
The best laid plans of mice and men, right? Absolutely, it happens all the time. You know, a product doesn't come in the way that you want it to, and you need to be able to react that way.
So that's almost like a necessary condition of being executive chef.
You just have to accept that. I mean, that happens on an almost daily basis.
Really? Okay.
You know, just like, you know, the person coming in that's, you know, lactose intolerant or no gluten, you know, the vegan requests you're going to have. You know, one of my old managers used to say, you know, what's the difference between stress and pressure? And really comes down to preparation, you know, and we try and be organized enough with what we're doing, and prepared enough with what we're doing, that you can deal with those pop-up challenges as best you can.
Excellent, excellent. Wow, I didn't realize it was that common of an issue for you. And another question I had was, so I am a terrible chef. My husband is the chef in the family, mm-hmm. and I can do a lot of things, but I don't think I could ever do anywhere near close to your job. And so that was a question I had. Do you think people have natural abilities and you kind of spot them, right, you know, when you're looking at young new chefs? Or do you think anybody can be trained? You know, on TV, right, you hear all the time, oh, anybody can be a chef. I don't buy that, but I want your opinion.
Well, you know, somebody said to me one time, when did you realize you have this gift? And my response to him was what gift? You know, and they said, well, with food. I said, you know what, if I have a gift, I work entirely too hard. And I read a book, I'm reading a book called The Outliers, and they really talk about in this book about, you know, how it takes 10,000 hours of working at something to become proficient at it. You know, me, I firmly believe that I got to where I was through a lot of hard work, and being prepared and so that when those opportunities arise or those situations come up, you're able to deal with them.
Excellent. Excellent. That's a good answer. I actually like that. We've got a Forbes business quote for you. To eat is human, to digest divine. This is from Charles Townsend Copeland. Thoughts on that?
I think it's a great quote. And it reminds me of one that I think was said by James Beard, something to the extent of man is the only creature that can get pleasure from eating without being hungry. And it shows a lot about, you know, it's not just about eating, it's about digesting, it's about enjoying, it's about indulging, you know, really. And I think that's something that's been great that you've seen in America, you know, these last few years, is people really, really taking to the dining.
Now, do you have an overall leadership philosophy?
You know, I try and lead by example. And, you know, I believe that, you know, you manage people individually, but you treat them equally. And I've said to my staff, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm gonna treat you like an adult and I expect you to act like one.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, best of luck with CityZen and the future as executive chef there.
All right. Thank you very much.
It's Eric Zeebold of CityZen. He's the executive chef. And of course, you can find his audiocast available at leadersportfolio.com, as well as bio and a link to CityZen. I want to thank the supporters of leadership, some of our sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. Also want to remind you about our leadership awards. We've been getting nominations and applications in, and hopefully it's someone from your place of business. Maybe you've nominated a boss. Maybe you have a client you want to nominate. These are our leadership awards. Business Leader of the Year, different categories for under 50 employees, over 50 employees, as well as Leadership Business of the Year. I'm Dr. Blacksmith. See you next week.